knows much more about it.
I grew up locally. I used to volunteer here with Friends of Wandry Hill, and I'm still involved with the Friends working on the history of Wandry Hill at the moment, and I'm writing the natural history. But Wandry Hill is famous because of an event that took place in 1897, the 10th of October, when 15,000 people conducted a mass trespass. And the reason they did that was because the whole site had been fenced off to become a golf course. But there's all sorts of rumours about how it came to be that that many people did the trespass. There's some rumour that a local brewer offered free beer to everyone, unsubstantiated. And there was a long political process after that. And in 1905, Wandry Hill was opened in perpetuity as a place for the public's enjoyment.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that kind of brings you in, Dan.
I think it's interesting what you're saying about, you know, why would an episode of Open Country be here in the city? I mean, it's interesting that there's places like this that are like the countryside that run through the veins of the city in some places. 47% of London is physically green. There are 3,000 parks within the city. There is so much opportunity for people to not just go and enjoy theatre land and go and make money in the city, but to think about the ecology of the city as well, where we are here.
Yeah, because you feel like you're in the countryside, actually peering into the city.
Right, but actually we're just on the edge of the centre of the city, really. I'm leading a campaign at the moment to turn the whole of Greater London, or 1,500 square kilometres, into the world's first national park city, which would be a new kind of national park, which might sound quite radical and extraordinary to some people, but I think it's just about making the intellectual leap to recognise that this habitat, which is recognised by the IUCN and Natural England, is just as valuable and important as remote and rural habitats. Yes, this is different from rainforest, but rainforest is different from desert, and desert is different from coral reef.
What's the definition? How do you differentiate between a national park and your idea of a national park city?
In England, in terms of a national park to be designated, essentially it has to be great for nature. London, 13,000 species of wildlife, tick, has to be great for recreation. More people do outdoor recreation in London than any other part of the country, tick. Bonaparte, it has to be open country. London is not open country, but that doesn't mean we can't look at the aims of a national park, which I think is more important than the definition of one, and then apply that to the urban environment, which is around improving the quality, access, enjoyment of nature, improving natural and cultural heritage, and also fostering new kinds of economic development within that place at the same time. We can do all those things for a city. The thing that makes it distinctly different is that you've got millions of people living here, which changes the dynamic about how you manage and what would be appropriate for that place.
And what about the national park brand compared to the national park city? Would there be a conflict there, do you think?
I think when you look at the people who are currently enjoying national parks in the UK and enjoying national parks around the world, they predominantly maybe belong to a particular demographic within society. And I think that there is a great opportunity to disrupt that by thinking about what the IUCN talks about as an urban gateway, where those people who maybe would otherwise stay in the cities in their homes and not go to parks, maybe go to parks, go to the local regional park, and then go out to the national park more often as well. The national park city wouldn't be a sibling within the family, but it may be a nephew.
Daniel, what are your thoughts?